Greetings this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The dear Lamb of God, I count it a privilege to be here. I'm Paul Hirschberger from Ohio. In some ways I feel like one of you. Been at many a Bible school, and I remember being young very well yet, it seems to me. But I'm starting to understand what people mean by 40-year-old young people. Life keeps going, but oh, to stay young at heart. And I trust this week, sharing with you, that I can stay young at heart. That's my heart this morning. Be one of you and just share God's Word. The focus of the week that I'd like to use this week is setting a standard for life. And the burden of my heart is looking out across this group, and there's about 650 opportunities sitting here. There's about 650 purposes sitting here. There's about 650 missionaries sitting here. There are 650 opportunities and callings sitting here. The question is, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? And the burden I have is that we could see what we do in our youth will affect the rest of our life. To be able to get a grasp that what I do when I'm young majorly affects my life. It is important. If you're sitting here this morning and you're wondering, why am I here? I'd have a burning passion in my heart that by the time this week is over, that one is all settled. Because there's a clear reason for your life. We don't know how long we're going to live, any of us. We don't know that. We need to be ready to die at any time. And yet, we need to prepare for life like I'm going to be 90 or 100 years old when I die. And that's the burden on my heart this morning, is that we could lay a foundation of standards in our youth, each one of us individually for our own life, that we can build on the rest of our lives. I've realized in the last few years how often I look at my own heart and I consider before God, where am I? And I turn back in my mind to when I was young, when I had energy just abounding, when I had time to use, and very little responsibility. I'd like to convince you that you'll never have any more time than you do when you're young. You could just believe me that that is so. For me, it's about 15 years later since I got married, and I think all of the married people here would agree, when you're young, you have more time and free life than any other time in your life. As the busyness of life presses in, it's not as easy anymore. It takes more effort, takes more determination, and if you've laid a foundation of standards in your youth of following God and seeking after God, you can go back to that and say, here's what I need to do. And it becomes a springboard. It becomes a motivation. Learning the scriptures and learning how to pray and having burdens after God and all of that becomes so important. when the pressure is on, the responsibility is heavy. You could turn to Psalm 71. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, before you're old. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And I'm trusting that by being here today, that's what we're doing. By being here this week, we're remembering our Creator in the days of our youth. The word standard simply means to establish something as a rule or a model. Establishing something as a rule or a model. And the burden I have this week is that we could take some important things in the spiritual life and make them a rule of our life and a model of our life. Not a box that we put ourselves in, but something that has the relationship of Jesus Christ in it with a burning heart's passion to please Him and to be like Him, that we can all our lives go back to in the days when I was young and follow that rule and that model that we set forth when we were young. You know, Paul told Timothy that he should be an example of the believers. And Timothy was pretty young. But if we could at least, in our youth, set an example for ourselves for the rest of our life, the rest will fall into place. If we could set that rule and that standard in our lives that God wants us to have, the rest of our life can be built on that. It can. Psalm 71, verse 1 through 5. David is saying, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me, and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." Thou art my trust from my youth. I'd like to turn to verse 16, same chapter. "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. And hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that has come." Here is David in his old age, and he's saying, "Lord, meet me, deliver me, be my strong tower, be the place I can escape to, that I can resort to, like when I was young." Now David, he was that shepherd boy that was out there on the hills watching the sheep, and he'd sing to God. And he blessed God, and God met him out there in the wilderness alone. He could have been wondering, "Why am I out here? I'm just watching sheep." But there he was, just watching sheep, but loving his Redeemer, loving his Lord, giving his life, pouring out his soul to the God of heaven, and the riches of heaven open up over his life. Now here's David in his old age, and he's looking back to those years that he spent there alone with God, out in the wilderness. He's saying, "God, would you meet me like you did out there in the wilderness? God, would you meet me that way?" And that's the burning passion of my heart, that we could all see and we can establish that relationship with Jesus, with the God of heaven, and we can establish our spiritual lives in such a way that heaven opens over our lives and there's a beautiful radiance and magnificence of Jesus being revealed in our lives, is coming flowing forward and forth like they did out of David. And then all the days of our life we can look back and say, God, would you meet me like you did in the days of my youth? I tell you, it's a treasure. It's a treasure. If there's no other reason for you in your youth, that's the only one we need, my brother, my sister. That's the only one we need. To sell out to Jesus. Get alone with God. Learn to know Him. Fellowship with Him. Have that sweet fellowship. The day comes when we'll want to look back and say, oh God, would you meet me like you did back there in the wilderness, wherever it is, out there herding the sheep, looking into heaven, singing, fellowshipping, loving His Word, submitted and surrendered. There He was. Just watching sheep, but oh, way more than watching sheep. Sometimes, young people, we look at life and we'd like to leapfrog way into the future and get some honorable position that we have framed in our minds of being this super spiritual Christian. And really, we need to see that just watching sheep is not just watching sheep if we're serving Jesus in the middle of that with all of our heart. It's not just watching sheep. It's learning to know my God. It's learning to know Jesus. Yet build a relationship with God in His youth that followed Him all the days of His life. What a rich treasure. Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me, he says. Isn't that sweet? Those that seek me early shall find me. My dear young person, I guarantee it to you, if you will seek God this week, He is to be found. He's to be found. He's not hiding somewhere, making it hard to find Him. If we'll seek Him, we can find Him. We can find Him. Those that seek me early shall find me. I love them that love me, he says. I love them that love me. Oh, for that sweet place, just basking in the love of Jesus and then living there. Well, that's the burden this week, that we can just get a glimpse of some beautiful things that we need to establish in our youth as young people. We need to set forth a model. We need to set forth a guideline. We need to set forth a rule, if I can say it that way. Don't take that legalistically, and yet a standard. Something to go by. You know, as I look down the aisle here, someone had something to go by. The chairs are pretty straight. And we all know why they are. Because there's a line right down through there. If we could have those lines established in our lives of how to walk with Jesus, I promise you it'll be a fruitful life. It'll be a fruitful life. Today I'd like to focus on Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of all. I believe that's the first principle and the most important one that we need to establish in our hearts and lives as young people. It's Jesus, Lord of all. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. I was blessed with what Brother Rick said this morning about how often Lord is in the Bible and how often Savior is in the Bible. And what I'd like to share out of this is, right in the beginning where the church was established, it was made very clear that Jesus is not just Savior. He's not just Christ. He's not just Redeemer. He is Lord. He is going to rule. Everything is going to listen to Him. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And when God says so, it's going to happen so. Jesus, Lord of all. I'd like to use an illustration this morning. We're going to pretend or imagine, whichever way you want to say it, that this glass is our heart or our life. And I don't know where we find ourselves this morning, but you might be in here and you found your heart that it's full of ugly, hard stones that are dirty, that are filthy, your heart is crusted over. My friend, I would like you to consider Jesus. Jesus said we're to break up the fallow ground, and if a heart looks like this, where it's full of hard stones, it's full of hard spots, it's all lumpy. And then there's something that happens. Sometimes we find ourselves in that condition. And we're getting concerned about the condition of our heart. Doesn't look very good. If I asked you to come take a drink of this wonderful fresh water right now, you wouldn't be very interested, would you? And we get concerned about how it looks. Not very appetizing. A lot of things that don't look good. And I have a burden about my heart looking like that. So, I need to do something about it. We'll just put Jesus on this. Fixes it all up, doesn't it? Looks much better now, doesn't it? I mean, we've got Jesus in the picture. At least nobody else should notice. But my friend, the message of that is we do exactly that. We do exactly that. We see our heart. And it's got a lot of ugly things in it. It's got a lot of sin in it. It's got a lot of ungodliness in it. Dirt and filth and self is in our heart. And everybody's seeing it. So I get a label out and I put Jesus on it. Now I'm supposed to fix it all up. But let's remember, Jesus is to be Lord of all. And in this condition, Jesus is not Lord of all. Well, if that doesn't suffice, let's help it out. Put some living water in there. That'll surely help. That looks different even. That's changed things a bit, hasn't it? Now I have a little bit of bubbliness about me. I've got Jesus on me. And surely people can see that things have changed a bit. And they might have, my friend, but Jesus is not Lord of all. If we have a heart that's full of sin, then Jesus is not what He needs to be in my heart and life. If we have a heart that allows ungodliness, that allows bitter envy and strife to be in it, or rebellion, lying, pride, then Jesus is not Lord of all. And so many times in our day, people want Jesus to be Savior. They want Him to be their Savior. They want to tag Him onto their life and try to pour some religion into their lives and make ourselves look like we're good. But my friend, I'm here to plead with you to make a standard in your life that Jesus has to be Lord of all, or not Lord, not Lord at all. Jesus needs to be Lord of all, or not Lord at all. We can't go this way. Well, then we're going to have to start confessing sins, getting rid of some things. And the burden is getting lighter, starting to feel a little bit clearer. We'll just confess a number of them. See if we can get our heart to feel a little bit better. What a relief. I've unloaded a whole bunch of sin. I've cleared a lot of things in my life. What a blessing. What a joy. In fact, we need to add a little bit more water. Get a little bit more of Jesus in there. What a wonderful life. Do you want to drink now? None of us want to drink out of this glass, do we? It looks worse than it did, doesn't it? Because now we were in there stirring things around. Yes, we've unloaded some. That's a half-hearted Christian life. That's confessing and getting out and unloading what I think I have to in order to get by. I mean, I need to convince people that I've changed. Yeah, I probably have changed some, but Jesus is not Lord of all. And we won't have that beautiful radiance coming out of our lives that David had out there in the desert, in the wilderness, alone with God. It won't come out that way. Doing it this way, just half-hearted. Well, probably better off if I got rid of it. Whew, that was a big one. And we'll just keep confessing sins. Pouring hearts out before God and let Him purge us and cleanse us. Add a little bit more water again. I mean, my heart's just about empty. I've really poured myself out before God. Want a drink? Still nobody wants a drink. And it's because there's sin left. Actually, there's one stone left in there and a whole bunch of other stuff. Did you know we often do that too? We clean it all out except that one spot that's too embarrassing. It's too embarrassing. It's too shameful. I don't want to talk about it. It'd be too humiliating to open that one up and let others see that. You know, God knows all about it. He knows all about it. Maybe it's too painful. There's something that happened to me that's too painful. And it's too hard to talk about it. We convince ourselves. Maybe there's something that someone did and they threatened you. Don't you ever tell anybody about that. Well, I'm going to do so and so to you. Those things happen. Therefore, we let it tucked away. There in the back corner of a heart. It's a secret reserved spot just for me. Is Jesus Lord of all that way? We need to come to Jesus and just pour it all out and ask Him to wash us. Let Him go in there, scrub us, clean things up, like only He can. And it might take a process. It might take some time. It might take some travail and agony. It might not just be quickly doing a little bit something to suffice everyone. Still have a couple specks. We need to be washed, cleaned, by the precious blood of Jesus. Does this look any better? And my friend, this is what we can all look like if we give Jesus everything we have. Everything we have. No reserves, nothing to hide. Lord Jesus, walk through my heart. Search me and try me. See whether there be any wicked way within me. And if we will set this kind of a standard for our lives, that Jesus is Lord of all, I promise you one thing, you'll have a sweet life walking with Jesus. You'll have a blessed life following Jesus. You'll have a fruitful life enjoying His presence. His grace will come down upon your heart, my friend, like you've never had or seen before. Oh, the beauties of heaven will just come shining forth. In fact, if we have this kind of a heart, there's something that will happen as we keep walking with the Lord and serving Him. He'll keep pouring it in, and it'll just run right over. Hallelujah! What better life could we have than serving Jesus with all of our heart, giving Him everything we have, make Him Lord of our lives. Jesus, be Lord of all or not Lord at all. Oh, to set that standard in our youth, when we're young, when we're full of zest and serving God. Romans 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We need to totally give ourselves to Jesus, and it's only reasonable, my friend. It's only reasonable that we make Him Lord of our lives. He didn't just die to put a smile on our face. He died that we would serve Him, that that relationship that was broken back in the garden with man would be restored, and that man could walk with the living God. The problem is, we're not all in that place. We're not all in that place. I'd like to take a little bit of time here to focus a little bit on false conversions. False conversions. Luke chapter 6, you can turn there if you want. False conversions, conversions where Jesus is not Lord of all. And my friend, it won't come out the same. Before God, it looks just like the illustration we looked at here this morning. It looks just like that. And the fruitfulness and overflowing of God's Spirit and God's Word in our hearts will not come until it's Lord of all, being Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 6, verse 43, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Oh, the heart of Jesus is crying here. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You don't go gather wonderful fruits of the Spirit off of a heart that is full of sin. The same way as you don't go pick the fruits of sin and foolishness and ungodliness off of a heart that is crystal clear, my friend. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. It won't come out that way. Fruitlessness. Oh, I'm born again. I'm born again. I've been saved. I've been saved. But there's fruitlessness. There's no fruit of the Spirit coming out of our lives. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, gentleness. We can act like there's peace. We can put love smiley face on and joy while everybody else sees. But you know, really down deep in our hearts, we know what's there, don't we? We know what's there. Fruitlessness. A five-year-old conversion. A five-year-old conversion. I was just a five-year-old and I said, Jesus, come into my heart because I don't want to go to hell. My friend, I'm here to plead with you. That's a false conversion. Escaping hell isn't why we get saved, even though that's part of it. That's one of the benefits. Standing at a meeting, I stood up to acknowledge Jesus. And I'm not going to say that if your heart isn't right, that that can't happen, but normally it doesn't do anything for us, except deceive us.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part 2 of this message, please press 2 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Everett Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.